Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. Plus, Fume just released a magnetic stand for your Fume, so there's no losing it around the house. It's built with fidgeting in mind, so you can spin your Fume around on it. Start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/scary and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of this show 10% off when you use my code SCARY to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com. Hello, I'm Blair Bathory, and this is the Something Scary Podcast. Thank you so much for being here, whether this is your first time or you're one of the brave souls who join us every week. People develop all types of cravings, like carbs or sugar. But when someone develops a craving for the taste of human flesh, it signifies a severe departure from societal norms, turning their humanity into an animalistic instinct, acting only on primal urges, blurring the line between human and beast. There's no telling who they will kill to get their fix. First, a mother's killer instinct, followed by tales of a Somalian cannibal. Finally, in our last story, a hotel of horrors. So, wanna hear something scary? A taste for blood. Sometimes we can even surprise ourselves with the lengths we will go to take care of those we love, no matter what the cost. Like in this story written by one of our favorite horror writers, RJ Joseph, in honor of Women's History Month. Being a traditional wife was amazing. Being a girl mom would be epic. Nia had gotten a nearly indescribable, giddy rush from having reached her first 100,000 followers. She hadn't been prepared for that rare high to be overshadowed by the way her heart fluttered at the first night at the sight of the two sets of Afro puffs bobbing up and down when she asked, "Are you girls hungry?" Her audience loved her content because she was authentic. They applauded her honest displays of life as a trad wife. The show where she'd broken down and tearfully informed them she couldn't conceive had generated record views. The only thing that would make their family whole and grow her audience exponentially was sweet babies. Little Joy and Faith would photograph perfectly, their wide, round, brown faces framed by thick hair pulled up into high puffs, showcasing long lashes and huge dark eyes. Her mommy content would push her into the highest streaming numbers she needed. "Hello, Mrs. Timmons," the caseworker said at Nia's front door when she brought the girls to their forever home. The woman's eyes darkened briefly. Joy and Faith have never stayed with any family for too long. They sometimes have. She faltered, eyes darting between the little girls who eyed her silently and Nia, who waited patiently for her to finish. "Behaviors that have caused difficulty." She looked as if she wanted to say more, but Nia waved the remainder of her confession away with a graceful hand. "They're just scared. sweet babies who need lots of love and healthy food, she turned to the girls. Would you like to see your room? The girls remained silent, faces starting to pale. However, the other woman nodded curtly. Yes, let's see their accommodations. Nia led them upstairs and opened the door to the large room the sisters would share. The caseworker stood silently at the door while Nia held her breath and watched the girls. She wanted them to love the things in her room as much as she did. Nia had spent long hours creating the vibrant colors. Each corner of the room held projects she'd shared with her fans. She'd lovingly worked to make renditions of her favorite childhood toys. There were piles of rag dolls with varying shades of brown skin. Hand-painted wooden blocks lay delicately scattered around two easels with canvases and small containers of finger paints. Personalized woven rugs lay next to their tiny beds. Fluttery paper butterflies danced among glittery stars, and wisps of sparkly ribbon swayed above the beds. 3-year-old Joy walked slowly over to a butterfly and grabbed it, excitedly babbling to her older sister.
Bally, butterfly.
Tears filled Nia's eyes as Faith ran to join her sister, wide smiles on their faces. The older girl promptly pulled the butterfly down, and before Nia could react, broke the paper in half and stuffed one piece into her mouth and the other into Joy's welcoming orifice. The caseworker gasped and rushed to chastise them, eyes frantic. Nia stood between her and them and wiped the paper from the girls' mouths. It won't hurt them. They're all organic materials. They must be hungry. Do you have any pets, Mrs. Timmons?
We don't. I may get some later, but we don't have any animals yet.
The caseworker barely looked at her as she rushed through the front door. Probably best if you don't get any, she said quietly. The girls silently consumed the eggplant noodles Nia prepared for them, their brown skin becoming more sallow as the night extended. They didn't fight as she tucked them into bed, the nightlight shining on their pale faces. Nia hoped they'd be recovered by the morning when Kurt arrived home from his trip. The girls looked smaller and sicklier the next morning. Nia dressed them and took them downstairs to wait for Kurt. As they stared at the breakfast she had prepared without touching it, she made a note to talk to their new pediatrician about how to ensure they got sufficient nutrients from the vegan diet she planned to feed them. When Kurt entered the kitchen, Nia placed a smile on her glossed lips and ran to greet her husband. He released her from the brief hug they shared, and Joy and Faith came toward them. Who do we have here? Kurt asked the question with a fake half-smile Nia hated.
This is Joy and Faith, Nia responded.
Before she could say more, Faith wrapped her little arms and legs around Kurt's lower body and bit him on the thigh. Her little teeth ripped through his slacks, sinking deeply into his skin. As he yelped and tried to shake it off, Faith held on tighter. She bit harder and dribbled his blood onto the kitchen floor where Joy lapped it up. Dawning realization hit Nia in mere moments. The color was returning to her daughter's faces as Kurt scrambled around the kitchen pulling at Faith. Kurt's movements grew weaker and theirs strengthened. She separated the little girl from her husband and he breathlessly leaned against the counter and mumbled hoarsely, "What the hell is going on here? That little monster attacked me." Nia turned to Joy and Faith.
"Babies, go into the backyard there and sit at the little table and wait for me."
The girls did as they were told. Nia turned to her husband, who by then was leaning closer to the floor, ashen underneath his full beard. He tried to speak again, but no words came forth.
"You'll be okay. We just have to teach her that biting isn't nice."
She knelt beside Kurt.
"Or I could call Dr. Allman and let him know you were bitten by our little girl."
She contorted her face into the wide-eyed, slightly puckered, pouty-lipped effect her husband loved. Kurt took in a slow, ragged breath and whispered curses. Her alpha husband would die before he would admit a bite from a little girl took him into the doctor's office. Knowing she was the victor, she pressed a dishcloth to his leg where the bite had already stopped bleeding.
"Go on upstairs and lay down. I'll bring you something to eat. And a poultice to put on your leg." Kurt grunted, and she left him to attend to the girls. Faith held out part of a half-chewed carcass of a large beetle and offered it to Joy. Both girls chewed on their snack and watched Nia approach. Their eyes were weary, tired, but bright with the nourishment they'd finally gotten. She sat down between them. "You were still hungry?" They nodded. "Why didn't you bite me? Or the caseworker?"
"You're the mommy."
Joy made the statement plainly and clearly. Faith further explained.
"You love us already. We need you."
Nia took the girls into her arms and glanced through the patio doors where she saw the bottoms of Kurt's feet where he lay on the kitchen floor. She'd need to learn new recipes and figure out how to keep them well fed. Daddy would aptly be their first provider. The board members of his company wouldn't object to him working from home indefinitely. She'd figure out what to do after that when the time came for her to publicly announce a more serene death for him than the one sure to come. Being a trad widow would be a martyrdom. Being a girl mommy would be iconic. What lengths would you go to get what you want? Would you draw the line at eating human flesh? Do you know anyone who would actually sacrifice a person to get more followers?
Have you ever tried to break a bad habit and it felt like you were climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, I've been there too, and it's really rough. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, which gives your fingers a lot to do and is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your bad habit. They sent me one to try, and I really love the flavors and how compact it is. It fits right into your pocket and nobody would think anything different. Plus, Fume just released a magnetic stand for your Fume, so there's no losing it around the house. It's built with fidgeting in mind, so you can spin your Fume around on it. Start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/scary and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of this show 10% off when you use my code SCARY to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Be careful when you're trying to teach someone a lesson. You may end up being the one who needs to learn something. And by the time you do, you may already be dead. Like in this story inspired by Mookie. In the heart of Somalia, where lush greenery once flourished, now lays a desolate wasteland. It is a cursed land, haunted by the legend of Degdir, a monstrous cannibal woman whose very name struck terror into the hearts of those who dare utter it. Aisha, a young girl with a curious spirit, had heard the tales of the Degdir since she was old enough to remember. All the kids her age knew about the monster. Her parents, like others, warned all the kids never to venture too far away into the valley for fear they would attract the attention of the dreaded creature. But Aisha knew it was just a way for her parents to try to scare her enough to keep in line. So one afternoon when she got into a fight with her mother, she thought there was no better thing to do than to run off into the forbidden territory. She laughed at the thought of making her parents worry, just for a bit. That would show them. As Aisha walked, the once vibrant landscape around her gradually transformed into a barren land of sand and rock. The air grew thick with silence, broken only by the distant howl of the wind. Aisha felt a shiver run down her spine as she thought twice about the legend of the Degdir. Ignoring the warnings running through her mind, Aisha pressed on, her stubbornness driving her forward. Soon, she stumbled upon a dilapidated hut nestled amidst the desolation. It seemed out of place, a lone touch of civilization in the midst of nothingness. Aisha cautiously approached the hut, her heart pounding in her chest. She hesitated at the door, unsure of what she might find inside. But then a voice called out from within, a soft, plaintive cry that tugged at her heartstrings. Thinking she could help, Aisha stepped into the dim interior of the hut. There she found a weary mother and her child huddled together, seeking refuge from the harshness of the desert. They looked up at her with pleading eyes, their faces etched with hunger and desperation. Without hesitation, Aisha set about helping them, fetching water and whatever scraps of food she could find. The mother thanked her profusely, her voice trembling with gratitude. But as Aisha rummaged through the meager supplies, her hand brushed against something cold and smooth, a mason jar hidden away in the corner of the hut. Curiosity getting the better of her once again, Aisha reached out to touch the jar, but as her fingers made contact, a sudden chill ran through her body and she froze in place. Dread washed over her as she realized what she had stumbled upon. It wasn't just any jar, it was a Bodair. The rest of the horror story came flooding back to Aisha. The Bodair is a jar that's under a spell in which the Degdir stores human flesh. If any other human touches it, it alerts the monster of their presence. And now, by touching it, Aisha had unwittingly triggered its call. A low growl filled the air, sending a shiver down Aisha's spine. She turned to see a figure emerging from the shadows, towering behemoth with eyes like smoldering coals and a mouth twisted into a cruel grin. It was the Degdir herself, the legendary terror. Aisha's heart pounded in her chest as she realized the gravity of her situation. She had trespassed into the domain of the creature. But as the Degdir advanced towards her, a voice cried out from the darkness. A voice filled with fear and desperation. It was the daughter of Degdir, a girl not much older than Aisha herself. She pleaded with her mother to spare the intruders, to show mercy where none was deserved. The Degdir hesitated for a moment, her gaze flickering between Aisha and her daughter. And then, with a snarl of frustration, she lunged forward, her claws outstretched and gleaming in the dim light. Aisha stumbled backward, her heart racing as she desperately sought a means of escape. But there was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide from the relentless pursuit. Just when all hope was lost, a sudden flash of inspiration struck Aisha. With a swift motion, she reached out and grabbed hold of the cursed jar that summoned the creature. And with all of her strength she could muster, she hurled it towards Degdir, watching it as it shattered upon impact, releasing a foul stench of rotting flesh that filled the air. For a moment, it stunned Degdir, giving Aisha seconds to grab the mother and child by the hand and flee. but the scent was so vile to them, only empowering Degdare. Her lust for blood and human flesh renewed as she stalked Aisha and the others through the woods. Their skins were the fresh pieces of flesh that were used to create the new enchanted mason jar, just waiting for the next defiant child to venture deep into the valley. Did your parents ever tell you a tale or urban legend you suspected might just be to scare you? Did you ever investigate it to see if it was real? Tell us your encounter and share your story by sending us an email at somethingscary@snarled.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You may not be responsible for the horrors that surround you, but if you do nothing about it, you'll have to live with that for the rest of your life. Like in this story based on true events and inspired by Akiri. Rawi and Nikau, two adventurous teenage boys, set out on a camping trip through the countryside. They were seeking thrills and excitement in nature, away from school and the city. However, their trip was abruptly interrupted by a fierce thunderstorm on the final day of their adventure. Concerned for their safety, they drove around and searched for the nearest hotel. They found themselves on a desolate road. Their headlights pierced through the storm and darkness, revealing an old, eerie-looking hotel nestled among the trees. Its weather-worn exterior gave it a haunting charm that called to them.
"Looks like something out of a horror movie, huh?" Nikau said, a shiver running down his spine.
Rawi chuckled nervously. It couldn't be worse than dying in a storm. They parked their car in front of the hotel and ran in to avoid getting totally soaked. The wooden door creaked as they pushed it open, revealing a dimly lit lobby adorned with dust-covered furniture.
"Hello?"
Rawi called out, his voice echoing through the empty space. There was no response, only the sound of their footsteps echoing off the walls as they ventured further into the hotel. Suddenly, a voice startled them from behind the desk around the corner. They walked over to see a woman being checked in by an older woman behind a desk, the innkeeper. The innkeeper was taller than they were, and big-boned. She looked like a freakish cartoon version of Frankenstein. She had a sinister glint in her eyes, her thin lips stretched into a tight smile. Creeped out, Nikau turned to leave, but stopped when he heard his friend's voice saying they were just looking for a place to stay for the night. She said they were in luck. She had a room available. She gave her current customer the room key 101. When the woman turned to leave, she made eye contact with the teens, giving them a, "Well, this place is creepy" look. They nodded in agreement as they stepped up to the sign. The innkeeper could barely contain her excitement. She told them she hadn't had this many visitors in a long while. She was certainly going to have a special breakfast for them in the morning. She handed them the room key 102. Despite their concerns, the teens took the room key and made their way upstairs. The hallway was dark and eerily quiet, the only sound being the soft creaking of floorboards beneath their feet, and then some movement from the woman in room 101. As they entered their room, a wave of musty air washed over them, and they wrinkled their noses in disgust. They both felt uneasy, but didn't want to be the one to say it. After all, this was the last night of their big adventure.
Rawi's eyes scanned the room for any signs of danger. He said they should just try to get some sleep then and get out of there first thing in the morning. But sleep did not come easily that night. Rawi and Nikau tossed and turned in their beds, plagued by restless dreams. Then they heard a scream. They both shot up in their beds, wondering if the other had heard that. It was difficult to hear anything over the storm. The thunder and cracking of branches were the thing of nightmares. What they heard must have been the howling of the winds. It wasn't until the early hours of the morning that they finally fell asleep. They awoke to the sound of footsteps echoing outside their door. Groggy and disoriented, they each stumbled out of bed and cautiously approached the door, their hearts pounding in their chest. Rawi called out to see who was there. The door creaked open, revealing the towering figure of the innkeeper standing in the hallway, a wicked grin plastered across her face. She said she hoped the boys got their beauty sleep. Rawi and Nikau exchanged nervous glances, their eyes racing with fear and uncertainty. Nikau whispered that they needed to get out of there, but his voice was barely audible above the pounding of his heart. But before they could make a move, the innkeeper suggested they join her for breakfast. It wasn't a suggestion. It was more like a threat. Before they could protest, the innkeeper ushered them downstairs. As they walked through the hall, they passed the other guest room, 101. The door was open, and Rawi was sure he caught a glimpse of the woman's suitcase still in the room. Half of him hoped she was still there so they wouldn't be alone. The other part of him prayed someone made it out alive. They arrived at the dining room, where a table was set with steaming plates of food. Their host urged them to sit, gesturing over at the chairs. Rawi and Nikau exchanged a horrified glance as they realized the truth of what lay before them. They could smell it the second they dug in their forks. The plates were filled with human meat pies, the scent of cooked flesh filling the air. The innkeeper's true intentions had been revealed, and they were trapped in her clutches. They gagged down their food, each of their minds racing with a way to escape. When they were finished, to their surprise, the innkeeper thanked them for their stay and told them to drive safely. Trying not to run, but walking as fast as they could, they grabbed their stuff and got to their car. Rawi pulled out of that hotel as fast as he possibly could. They never spoke of what they both feared. They ate human flesh and did nothing to stop it. They each tried to convince themselves that by not talking about it, it didn't happen. They couldn't know for sure. But a few weeks later, when they saw on the news a missing woman report, they recognized her from the hotel, and they knew exactly where she was, and that no one would ever find her. They would have to live with the horror for the rest of their lives. Have you ever been so creeped out while staying at a hotel? Was it the place itself or the people that gave you the eerie feeling? This week's podcast stories were edited by Sarah Lukasiewicz, narration by Blair Bathory, audio edited and mixed by Calvin Linderman, additional audio editing by Fitz Harris, produced by Anna Villalobos, executive produced by Gail Gilman, music by Sapphire Sandalo and Calvin Linderman. If you have a story you'd like to submit, send me an email at somethingscary@snarled.com. Don't forget to watch the video version of Something Scary over at youtube.com/snarled. And if you'd like to support the show and everything we do at Snarled, join our Patreon at patreon.com/snarled. Until next time, my spooky friends, sweet screams.
1 has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angi has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angi app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's Angi.com.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.